Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Rego. It's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers just like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or a seasoned pro, we'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations, and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Welcome back, Raise Nation. Always great to connect with you like this. We hope that you're enjoying our podcast channel just as much as we enjoy producing it. And if you're new, thank you for joining us. You have a couple of episodes to catch up on. We're like in the 130s at this point. But hopefully you'll enjoy today's topic and you'll continue to follow us for some more. So it's always very special when we get to profile a great mission that's impacting our communities. And we're doing that today. It's going to be a mouthful. So I'm going to try to get this organization name out right. But we're just going to talk about what we're doing here in this very important mission with two of the leaders in the organization. We have Carla Dobbs and Danielle from, let's see if I can get it right, Angels. Oh my gosh, help me, Carla. That's just a mess.
You're good. It's Angels Foster Family Network of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, the Foster Family Network just isn't rolling off my tongue that well. But Carla, let's start with you. We have Carla, who is the assistant director. We have the project coordinator with us. Carla, let's start with you. Our audience wants to get to know you first. So we're going to dive into the mission, everything that you're doing. But first, we need to know who's at the helm of it all or who's actively contributing. So why don't you introduce yourself? Let us know how you came to Angels. Oh my goodness, goodness gracious.
All right.
She's calling Angels.
Call Angels from here out in. Let us know how you came to Angels, what you do there, your why, whatever you'd like to share personally. And then hi, Danielle. We want to hear from you too. And you'll do the same thing if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Carla Dobbs. I'm the assistant director of Angels Foster Family Network. It's a long title.
Oklahoma City.
Of Oklahoma City.
Yeah. There we go.
So yep. We are a local to Oklahoma nonprofit for foster care. So we are central Oklahoma. So Oklahoma County, Cleveland counties, and the contiguous counties in the middle of Oklahoma is where we serve foster families. Our mission is to drive systemic change and champion foster families. And so we are trying to make sure that the foster families have everything that they need to continue to foster well and feel like they have wraparound services. So we're in contract with the state to provide homes, to recruit and provide homes and train them. But we also fundraise to go above and beyond to make sure that those families have everything that they need to have continuation of services for kids and just they don't get burned out and that they have all of the things that they need. So that's what we do. And I specifically am a little bit of a lot of different things for Angels. I'm kind of our CFO and also like our HR and just kind of a, when you're in the nonprofit world, you kind of do
many hats.
Yes. And so I help Danielle with fundraising in different ways, but because I do the money side of Angels, but she's our primary like event person. So that's what I do. I've been with Angels for 11 years. I love it. It's an amazing organization. We've supported so many, probably, I think we're at like around 3,200 kids we've served at this point now.
Wow.
And given safe homes and helped some of them find their forever homes that, you know, helped a ton of them reunify with their biological families. So it's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun, though, and it's really fulfilling.
I bet. I mean, the whole foster care is so super special. And yeah, we're going to get into it. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear more because it could be
they could be beautiful stories, but they're challenging as well. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But first, we want to hear from Danielle. How did you come to Angels? I've abbreviated it to Angels real fast. Yes. Notice that.
No, that's the easiest way, honestly.
But as the project coordinator, what do you do? How did you come to find Angels? How did it find you? And whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. So I worked for the state. So I was a caseworker for this Oklahoma State. And then I transitioned to be a caseworker at Angels in 2014. And then the position for project coordinator came up, and I just kind of decided to roll into that world in 2018. So I've been the project coordinator for Angels for 2018. So I do fundraising and then also events and volunteerism for Angels. So I'm in charge of anybody who wants to become a volunteer and letting them kind of be a part, which volunteers are like such an important part of our agency.
So why we have the network in the title.
Yes, exactly. Because it truly takes a village when it comes to foster care. Yeah. And just a great way for people to get plugged in. But then I also do events for Angels. So back to school, providing Christmas gifts for all of our kids in foster care, making sure, you know, any kind of events, like we have a foster family appreciation dinner, and then like fundraising events like our gala that we just had in February. Just events, volunteerism, and like fundraising.
Well, that's a lot of hats too. You're both wearing a lot of hats. I mean, we all know that events just alone is, you know, could be a full-time and half job right there, let alone the other hats that you're wearing. So how large is the organization? How many other people are there besides the two of you? Because it seems like you're doing it all.
Well, so we have 22 employees. Most of our employees are going to be the program side. So we kind of have two different sides to our organization. We have our program, mm-hmm. that's our foster care program supporting, has its supervisors and its case managers that are the day in, day out. They're going into the homes. They're going to court. They're going to family team meetings.
Court.
That's what those people are doing. And then you have our administrative side, which includes us, that's making sure that the other wraparound services are provided and the businesses run. So that's that's where like Danielle's making sure that our foster families have what they need in the terms of like events or supplies or volunteer support. And I'm making sure that our business can keep operating and that those people can continue to do what they do.
Yeah. Wow. So it's a heavy weight. You're really building families and building communities. As you mentioned, it takes a village. And I think foster care is such a beautiful, you know, to say I choose you, right? It's just such a beautiful way to create a family. But there's a lot, right? I mean, there's a lot to creating any family, but there's some additional challenges when you're going into foster care for the young person. For the young person when they turn 18, that's always a tough milestone. And then for the family itself. Do we want to talk about that just a little bit? And let's just, you know, what makes you different in addressing that journey? And let's talk about that journey a little bit. Whoever wants to take that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Okay. A couple of things that make Angels different, make us unique, and what is unique about a nonprofit foster care agency versus state support is we have only 15 max cases per case manager. So that's 15 foster families. So that gives them the ability to be available 24/7 and help make sure that those families have everything that they need. Just really know all their stories, focus on what's going on with each case, with each kid. And then we also only do one child or sibling group per home. is part of our model to avoid mixing traumas, because all of these kids, even if it's an infant, they have trauma. They either have it from in utero or they have it from whatever neglect or abuse they've endured. So we make sure that the family with only one child or sibling group per home, they're able to focus on that kid or those collective children's trauma together as a family. And we train all of our families in trust-based relational intervention, which is through TCU in Texas. It's called TBRI for short. So all of our families are trauma-informed, and they go into it ready to wrap around those kids and help them process that the difficult things they've been through and grow from it. And that's a gist of it. Danielle, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so our caseworkers go to court with the families as well as an advocate for the foster family and for the child. But they're basically there just as an added support of basically what do you need and how can we help? Because foster care, being a foster parent can be isolating. So just being there for whatever you need, just because the state, I worked for the state myself, and they're just overworked and just don't have the manpower to pour into the families as they can. And that's not their fault. It's just part of, you know, just kind of the way it is. So we're there to add extra help. And that's why we partner with the state to be able to just like be a help to the family and to the state. But just an added support for those families. Mainly like, how can we help you? And
Foster care is hard, and we want to give them longevity, because we want to make sure they're able to continue to support that child until they reunify or they get adopted or whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Why and so is we're isolating for the families that are providing the foster care. You mentioned that, I think, Danielle, that it could be very isolating. Why is that isolating for those type of families?
I think just because these kids come from trauma and just not a lot of people aren't in the foster care world. So they don't know what it's like to all of a sudden have a child in their home who's coming from trauma. Being a parent and then being a foster parent looks a little different, maybe. So I'm not a parent, but I was foster parent. So it's going to be a little different in the sense of, like we said, we're help our foster families become trauma informed. And so just learning about trauma and where they're coming from and how to help them, but then also working with the biological family, then going to court and just, it just is a little different. So people who aren't in the world of foster care may not know how to like help a family necessarily, whereas like Angels has the tools of like, hey, we're very trauma informed, we're very like, you know, we know what this is like, so let us help you.
There's kind of going on, there's a lot going on as you're describing it, there's a lot going on with somebody that's young and impressionable and delicate, and they've been through a lot. And I can't imagine, as being a foster parent, you want to love and nurture, but yet you have to respect the biological family and you have to know that there might be separation. And how do you get yourself through that? How do you support the biological family? That aside, most and foremost important, that child and making sure that they're getting on a better. I can't just imagine all of these moving parts trying to come together. Parts. Yeah. So I think that's what you're referencing. And then a young child can be in multiple homes in addition to their biological home. There's in most cases trauma involved. And then there's the fact when they turn 18, just take us through that monumental. It's not just a matter of food and clothing and a roof over your head. There is a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And I think the average, the average child goes through, I forget what the statistic is, how many homes is a child? And do you remember, Carla?
It's like, I thought it was 3 or 4, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was higher than that, but I thought it was 7, but I don't know. Maybe I'm making up that. It is
significant.
Significant.
It's more than one.
We know from research that every move is another trauma to the child.
Trauma in itself.
A trauma. Yeah. And so that's why we want to provide longevity with our families. Our families have, on average, are keeping kids there until they find permanency. So we're almost 100% at them keep. I think it's like we're at like 98% retention of our families keeping the child in their home until either A, they reunify, or they go to a kinship family, which is a relative or non-relative that they knew prior to being in foster care, or they get adopted. So our families are remaining consistent and they're providing longevity and consistency for children, which is huge.
Yeah. Well, so there's a lot of need there, right? So I would imagine there's also fundraising that's going to happen because of all of the needs. So we do have a little bit of a surprise for you today and for our audience. We're joined today by Nate Cox, who's a customer success manager here at One Cause, and not just any customer success manager, but your customer success manager. So I want to welcome to the show, because we're just going to talk about how we all work together to make this happen, because it sounds like raising children is super expensive no matter where you are.
Yes.
But when you're trying to build a family and build them up from trauma and work within multiple families and do all the things that you're trying to do at Angels, it does take a village, but it does take fundraising. So to help you do that, hopefully Nate is going to shed some light on that. Nate, welcome to Raise Nation Radio. And I know you wanted to join today because you're just so proud of Angels and what they're doing. But do you want to introduce yourself to the audience and let everybody know what you do here, why you're so proud of Angels, and what brought you to One Cause?
Hi, friends. I would love to. Thanks, Don. Nate here. I am no stranger to Raise Nation Radio. I've been on just a few times and appreciate the opportunity to be on with these amazing women at Angels. And I am their customer success manager. I came into this role a couple of years ago, was in sales at One Cause prior, but I get to partner with our nonprofit people to help raise and maximize their subscription here with One Cause. Help facilitate all types of fundraising, which I think that Angels Foster Family and I have kind of come into recently. We have a, I would say, relatively new partnership, but we got off on a great start in their fundraising, and they had such a successful event that I had to have them on to share in what they do, but also in maybe how they're planning to fundraise and continue to be successful. Because I think a lot of people, especially some of our amazing grassroots partners across the country, can learn a little bit from their success. So just happy to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting. We're all in it together, right? So we're going to figure out, you know, how this goes about and maybe inspire some of our audience. So to Carla and Danielle, to you, let's start with, before we get to the fundraising, what do you need, right? If somebody's listening, because you impacted me today, I don't know that I thought about it so deeply in what must be happening, you know, day to day, courts and this. Like you mentioned a couple of like light bulb moments for me, like, wow, we're trying to be a family here, but there's just so much distraction from doing that. And you're trying to provide that consistency. So applaud you for what you're doing, you know, every day and building community, building family. Nothing could be more special. But what do you need? I mean, of course, you want somebody to hit that donate button and, you know, give whatever budget that they can. But aside from that, what do you need to sustain what you do at Angels?
Yeah, so to start, like you said, monetary donations are always appreciated and they're a huge help to us. But we have like a list of in-kind donations that we always need for like local people in Oklahoma City. In Oklahoma, we you know, diaper drives and all kinds of things. Like, we have a resource closet where we hand out tons of things, physical needs to our families, clothes for kids, all kinds of things. But we also have Amazon wish lists that people that are further away can go on and buy specific things that we need for a closet, that would go straight to foster families. Also just engaging in our social media and helping with awareness. Because a lot of people, like Danielle said, they're not in the world of foster care. So they know, like, oh yeah, that's a need, or that's blah, blah, blah. But they just kind of, it's like an idea that's kind of far off. But we have kids in our communities, in all of our communities that are in foster care. In Oklahoma specifically, I think we're at around, Danielle, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're at 6,800 kids in foster care.
6,800.
And that fluctuates through the years and gets higher or lower, but we have a lot of kids in need in all of our communities. And so in all of wherever you guys are and what state you're in, there is foster care and there are kids that need help and families that need support. And so I would think, if you can think of anything else, Danielle, I'll add to that.
Well, kind of touching on what Carla said, as far as like, we have a resource closet. So one of the things, kind of going back to what makes us different, is whenever a child comes into care, the caseworker will ensure that that child has, like, whatever they need for the first few days. Because unfortunately, kids come into care and will literally have the clothes on their back and nothing else, or clothes.
And I heard sometimes a paper bag. There's stuff in a paper bag.
Yeah, like,
yes,
a trash bag.
Yes. Oh my God, yeah. That kills me.
One of the things that we're like, that we strive to do is to make sure that this child has like several days worth of clothing, pajamas, just necessities, diapers, wipes, like a blanket, a couple of toys, books, whatever, just a few things, so that foster family isn't having to stress out and say, oh my gosh, I need to go to Target or Walmart and I need to get these things. And it's like, hey, you're good. We've got a few days worth of stuff. Just make sure.
Adding stress to an already stressful situation, right?
It's very stressful because those kids have just been removed from their homes. It could be at 10 o'clock at night. We do not want families having to run out to the store and buy a bunch of things right then. We want them to be able to bond with the child.
Right.
And then we also try and provide like gift cards for like a restaurant or food. So we like to support our local communities as well as so like monetary donations for like being like, here's a $50 gift card to like a local restaurant to where, you know, they can take them out to eat or not worry about having to cook dinner for that night or something like that. Or just kind of releasing a little bit of that financial burden from them. So just like, there's lots of things, and back to school, making sure we do back to school drive, but also making sure that all of our kids have backpack and then school supplies that are like tailored to their needs for school and things like that, and Christmas gifts. So there's lots of different like financial needs that we have that we try and just make sure that we can release some of that financial burden from those foster families.
And the day-to-day essentials.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think about that, right? But just getting day-to-day essentials could be stressful to an already traumatic and stressful situation. Well, thank you for sharing that. We're going to put that in some of the show notes so that people that are out there listening, they want to help. At least we know what to do. Because I think so many times people do want to help, but they don't, only because they just really don't know what to do. And that gives them a little paralysis.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But of course, we do need to fundraise. And that's a big part of your job, Carla and Danielle, right? It's a big part of what you do through events and different types of things. So Nate, why don't I turn the mic over to you so that you could, you know, maybe we can share some inspiration to our audience that's listening, because this is one of our partners, right? We empower great missions here at One Cause, and we live that why every day. And I know you live our why probably better than anybody, and you were super proud of Angels. So why don't you just take through some fundraising things, like going from a manual process and, you know, the tech that they're using, their favorites, things like that. Do you mind taking the mic, Nate? And I'll sit back and listen.
I would love to. Thanks, Don. I, like I said before, was completely enamored with Angels Foster and the work that you guys do. Just on a few calls, I've gotten to know you a little bit better, but had some questions because it's not been an easy journey, but it's been a worthwhile journey to get to One Cause. And I believe you had started out a little bit more of a manual process with your fundraising, right? So
yes.
I would love to hear from you guys because you lived that. But paper, pen, Excel spreadsheets are so well known to
Oh, I hear the giggles.
I mean, it's just, it's how a lot of nonprofits start or continue to fundraise in that way because it's just the way that we've done it. And I'd love to hear from you, Carla and Danielle, about how that transition came to be. Was there some experimenting? What was the springboard into using software for fundraising?
We had actually talked about using a software for the past few years, and every year, and we're like, this, like every year would be like, okay, this year we got to do this. We got to make this easier because it, like you said, we were using, like, for check-in and stuff and check out, like, Excel spreadsheets of, like, and pen and paper. And it is just, it was the most stressful part of our event. It was not, like, a good use of our time. It made, like, checkout, check-in much longer than it needed to be. And it was just, it was a little scary because it was something new, but we are so, so glad that we did it. And it was such a blessing to us. One Cause has been, it made like things so much more seamless and fast. And we had great feedback from our, from our guests and our sponsors and stuff like that. And we were just like, could not have been happier with using One Cause, honest. And I'm kind of like kicking myself that we did not do it soon.
Oh yeah, we're definitely kicking ourselves in that regard. And another thing is we are just a local nonprofit. We're a smaller agency. So the commitment, financial commitment was also something we were always stressing about of like, would it, if it didn't pan out, we've spent all the, you know, not all this money, but a fair amount when you're a small agency with a smaller budget. And so we just kept putting it off. We're like, or the work to like onboard and learn it. Cause we are in the trenches every day working so hard. And it's like, when do you have time to stop and learn something new? And so that was really there were a few different reasons, but we were definitely kicking ourselves after we finally did it. We were like, we could have had it so much easier earlier.
I know. The payoff was more than worth, like, you know,
the work that we had to put in.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm so glad to hear.
Yeah, sweet of you to say.
Very happy that you took the risk. I know there's always risk involved with changing it up, especially when, like you said, your day-to-day is just, you know, stressful, but you're working and don't want to have to break away and try something new. But I will say, I mean, you were 128% to your goal for your event. How amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
That you exceeded.
Applause.
Thank you.
You exceeded all expectations. I think the organization is lucky to have such a fantastic group of women working on this. More power to you. I think moving forward, we're going to keep building on that success. But I'd love to know, Carla, just from you, what was your favorite piece of the software? Was there a piece of innovation that really caught you by surprise or maybe made things extremely easy for you where you were like, we literally can't live without this now?
So my favorite thing as the person, there are different responsibilities that Danielle and I kind of divide up when gala season comes around. And one of mine has always been the seating chart. And I love how you do the tables in One Cause. And I love how easy it is to switch people at the last second. So that was something that was hard manually, very difficult, was when people weren't consistent or they'd send someone in their place or they would, you know, walk up or call us the day before and want to change something. And we're like, oh my goodness, we've already printed everything. We've already done everything. We were ready for this event. And then we have to go back in and like redo a whole bunch of stuff. So I loved like being able to organize the tables, move around the sponsorships and the individual ticket salespeople into where they needed to go, and how easy it was to make last minute adjustments when someone like sent someone in their place. So that was my favorite part.
I love that.
And it's funny. We have to play this little snippet for our product team, right? Because it's such a, when you look at an event and you look at all the moving parts of an event and what goes into it, you would think the tables, you would think table seating, you know, is not like that big of a deal. But you know what? We did it because we listened and we heard you and we wanted to make it easy. But to hear you actually explain how much impact that had on you is just
game changer.
Yeah. Aw, so sweet.
And just the guests switching, because a lot of people will be like, oh, I have the flu. I'm sending so-and-so in my stead. And like that was really hard on us previously because we'd have somebody walk up and we wouldn't have, you know, everything in front of us. So it was awesome. Those two things I loved.
Yeah. Literally the click of a button. We're like, oh, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. We'll switch it out right now.
No big deal.
Yeah, instead of being like, oh, we got to switch somebody out. It's like, oh, yeah, gotcha. No problem.
Absolutely. Fine.
Which I think, how impactful is that, that you get all of that time, you know, back to you? The time that you could have spent doing a lot of the manual process, you get to go and continue to fulfill your mission and work with kiddos and, you know, continue to use your time elsewhere, which I think is magic. Danielle, what about you? What was your kind of favorite piece? I know we talked about registration being so different this time around than how it has previously, like check-in and check-out. Can you talk about that?
Yes, so check-in and check-out was so seamless. It was 10 out of 10, honestly. So great. We're not flipping through huge pieces of paper trying to highlight and find them. And the fact that you could merge like people when they had one card made it so easy. Checkout was beyond like wonderful. I truly can't put into words. We talked about this for days afterwards about, we're like, can you believe how fast checkout went? It was just so great. It made things 10 times faster. And just, it was beyond wonderful. Also, my other favorite part was the silent auction. I looked up our statistics from like 2023. We made in our silent auction $10,671 in 2023. This year we made $24,600.
Oh, wow.
So more than double.
Nice.
And it's truly 100% because it was online. And the fact that we got the text updates and people loved that. I was a little nervous going into it because we have a wide range, like age range of people. So I was like, oh, are older people not going to like utilize this as much and stuff? But that wasn't an issue at all. Like, and we went live a couple days before, had the silent, and people like immediately started bidding as soon as it went live. So we had people bidding who weren't at the event, which was great. So because we put it out to everyone. So the fact that we more than doubled our silent auction is wild and amazing.
Yeah, wild. Good for you. You know, it sounded like you really embraced the software, which is good. Right. Yeah. You trusted it and you said, well, we're going to do it. We waited a long time to do it. But if we're going to do it, we're just gonna
we're going to be all in for it.
But it also sounds like you did good communications with your supporter base. Right. So that they were hyped and excited. And, you know, it sounds like the communication there was really great, which really just, contributes to the overall success.
And also, we our on-site manager, Hannah. For One Cause was just, we loved her so much. She was the best. So we immediately like, can you come to our next event? Like we were automatically like, we want her for our next event. She was wonderful. She was so calm, cool, and collected. Any little like, not even issue on like a One Cause end, just on our end, like, oh, we don't know how to do this. Or like, can you help us? Yeah, sure. No problem. Fix it in 2 seconds. And was just wonderful, kind, so easy to work with, so knowledgeable about things, and totally worth it to have somebody on site.
It was really worth it.
Shout out Hannah.
Yeah. We love Hannah.
But also just
we love Hannah too.
Yeah. That particular role we had discussed up front, like, oh man, the money for having someone on site the day of, do we want to spend it? Like, we don't know. And we were like, okay, the first year we definitely want to, because we don't want to have anything go wrong, because we were so stressed about it's not knowing the software well enough and something happening. But once we had her there, we were like, worth it. That'd be honestly worth it every year. So we just thought it was awesome.
And we're happy to be able to provide that field support. It's not easy, you know, covering the country and so many events happening simultaneously, and bringing that experience and professionalism. I mean, it takes a special person to help a nonprofit run their event when everything is at stake, right? And replicating that person so many times across the country on the same night. It's not easy, but we want to continue to do that and support nonprofits that way. Nate, are you hearing all this? It's exciting.
I am grinning from ear to ear. I think that that was going to be my next question for you about Hannah. And no, I love it. I think that it's fantastic. I think we are blessed, obviously, at One Cause to be able to provide the services in-house, and we don't have to outsource for those. And I think that you all saw the value with Hannah and having staff there, but are going to continue to see value in just using the software in different ways, wanting to, I think, experiment a little bit now that you've seen success. And it's paying for itself and 10 times more. So I think that we're going to continue to staff your events. But we have some more things up and coming. Is that right? I mean, we have so much to look forward to. Don, are you going to talk on that?
Their upcoming fundraising ideas? Is that what you're referring to, Nate?
I think so.
Go ahead. Well, I don't know if I can talk to that. I think Danielle and Carla, tell me, what fundraising ideas do you have coming up?
So we are doing a women's luncheon that'll be coming up this fall, hopefully on September 18th. And so this is a little bit different. It's not quite like our gala, so it'll be women-based, and it's just a luncheon. But it's more to promote, like, obviously we want fundraising from this, of course, but mainly spreading awareness about angels, and maybe hopefully bringing new people in who may not have heard about angels or what we do.
More of an awareness type event instead of a fundraising.
But of course it's fundraising as well.
It's fundraising, but it's a little more awareness of foster care and all of the things we have going on for volunteers, donors, and foster families, like bringing in new people in those regards too.
And now, Nate, I don't know if you know this, but May is Foster Care Awareness Month. So that, you know, I think that awareness of what it takes to build a foster care family and support everyone involved, that's a 365 day, you know, vigil, right? But it's okay to have a month where we're a little bit hyper-focused. So what are the plans? Anything for May coming up, either in programming or fundraising or all the way around? Because that's your 31 days to shine.
So one of the things that we're doing is me and a couple of coworkers like reach out to local businesses within the area and just say, hey, May is Foster Care Awareness Month. This is what we do. We're wanting to see if you would offer some kind of like incentive or like free option to like foster families, if this is something that you would want to be a part of. So local.
Oh, nice. We've had building community.
Businesses. Yeah. Mm. And so we've had like Junction Coffee just say, you know, have foster families say they're with angels and, you know, we'll give them a free copy for that month. Or, you know, other businesses said, we'll give a percentage of a discount, like the mule, like percentage discount for foster families the month of May and things like that. So we're about to send out a bunch of letters to our foster families being like, here are all the amazing local agencies who are, you know, wanting to support you this month. And things that you can benefit from.
Yeah, so sometimes that cup of coffee can go a long way, right? That's all it takes. Just give me my cup of coffee and, you know.
Exactly. To get you through the day.
I love how you're building community. I mean, it's, and at the same time, building awareness. So that's really special. I wish we had, you know, another hour or so, you know, just to chat about all the things, because it's really a special mission that you have and a special organization supporting the mission. But I want to get to a couple questions that we can wrap up with. How do people get involved? They're listening. They're just hearing the passion, the work that both of you do, how many hats you wear to deliver a really great program. What did you say, 63 or 6,800 families? I mean, it's just a lot to think about and a lot going on with each family. So if somebody wants to get involved, how do they get involved? And then let's wrap up with what's next for Angels Foster Family of Oklahoma City. I got the whole thing out that time.
Great. Great job.
Yeah. So we, you know, if they're local to Oklahoma, we have volunteer programs at our Edmond office and our Norman location. So we have all kinds of volunteer opportunities and they can seek that out through our website. We also obviously always need foster families. It's always a need in our state and in most states. So wherever they are, you know, if foster care is on their heart, seeking it out and trying to help a kid in need. And we also always need donations, and that can be done through our website as well. So donors, volunteerism, fostering, that's kind of, I mean, those are our needs and getting on even in kind needs where they know exactly what they're sending us, like on Amazon, like send us some diapers or something is phenomenal and helpful.
Wow. Nate, I'm going to pass the mic to you just to close this out before we wrap it up. I'm putting you on the spot here, but any message that you have for Angels? I know you're very proud. It was important for you to show up today for them and to just be part of this celebration and conversation. So any messaging or words that you want to share with Carla and Danielle?
I just a lot of thanks that I even get to be a small part of your success. I think that, you know, you all have events coming up. We've got some September, the luncheon to look forward to. We've got the gala next year. So I'm just happy and feel kind of humbled to be a part of your journey. And hopefully we can continue to break that ceiling of donations and see more and more success as we continue to partner. So thank you all for being here. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I think you have a real cheerleader with Nate, but that's what makes, I think, one cause a little special. You know, we really live our why. And as soon as Nate heard that you're going to be on the podcast, he's like, can I join? I just want to be, you know, it's like a little family we've created. But just so special talking to both of you. We're going to have you come back after the luncheon. Let us know how you did, maybe year two. You know, to Nate's point, you know, maybe year one was safe, but year two, you're going to try new things. And we'd love to hear about that. But more importantly, we just want to hear about the families and how they're thriving and, you know, achieving some success. I'd love to get into what happens, you know, once they hit 18 and you know, the longevity that you've been able to provide, maybe some success stories. So promise you'll come back and visit with us again.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'd love to have you. But Fearless Fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of inspiration. Tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And in the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. We stream everywhere, so you can follow your favorite channel, and this way you'll get notifications about all our new guests. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com. And please be sure to visit the resource tab because we have our Raise Nation Radio podcast as well as a complete catalog of content. It's all free and hopefully you'll find super helpful. A huge shout out and thanks to my guests, Carla and Danielle from Angels Foster Family Network of Oklahoma City. And I got it right that time. And Nate Cox, our customer success, one of our adored customer success managers here at One Cause. Just thank you for being part of the conversation, for being with us today. I did enjoy our conversation immensely, but I have to ask each of you, we'll go round robin. So Carla, Danielle, and then close it out with Nate. Any last words of inspiration for our audience?
So since you do have a lot of people from other nonprofits listening, something I heard at a training one time that really helped me do my job better is something that's always awkward about working for a nonprofit is you're always having to ask for money. And but they said more money equals more mission. And mm-hmm. our mission is super important to us. And I'm sure theirs is to them. And so don't ever feel bad that you have to ask for donations. It is important and it's important work. And we're glad that we get to do it.
Yeah. I love that. More money, more missions. Okay, Danielle.
Just anybody out there listening, if you're thinking about using One Cause and afraid to take the leap, just know that it is well worth it. If you're interested in learning more about foster care or just, visit angelsfosterokc.org to learn more. Or just if you're not in the Oklahoma City area, just reach out and like Google local foster care agencies and just learn more about it. Doesn't mean that you have to take the plunge, but maybe just look into it, learn more about it and see how you can support, whether it's volunteerism or monetary or, you know, just see how you can get plugged in.
Yeah. And we'll put all of that in the show notes so that the audience that's listening, if you need to connect with Angels Foster Family Network of Oklahoma City, or Danielle or Carla, we'll have all that contact information just a click away right in the show notes on this podcast. But Nate, bring us home with some inspiration.
And I just wanted to thank you for doing this with us and thank Carla and Danielle for being here. Just happy to be a part of the everyday fight, and hopefully we'll continue to raise more for the amazing kids and families that you serve. So thank you all.
Yeah, well, I expect a lot from the three of you working together. We'll tune back in later in the end of the year. Well, thank you again so much. And that was a wrap for now. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.